This week's Parsha is Parsha's Baalo Yischa, and Parsha's Baalo Yischa has a lot of subjects. Our shir today will focus on Eldot and Medot, which is on chapter 11, verses number 23 to verse number 30. But before we start, we will give a quick synopsis of what is happening in the Parsha. The Jewish people are complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu that they want meat, even though they have man, which falls every day, and it tastes like any food that a person could imagine. Nonetheless, they want meat. Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset and says to Hashem in chapter 11, verse number 14, that I alone cannot carry the burden of these people, ki chaved mimeni, because this is too heavy for me. So Hashem decides at that point to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint 70 elders, and he will give from Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit to the 70 elders. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph explains Moshe Rabbeinu's dilemma. Moshe Rabbeinu said that if I pick 6 elders from each tribe in order to have equal representation, then I end up having 72 elders, because there are 12 tribes, 12 times 6 is 72. And Hashem only told me to have 70 elders and not 72. And if I pick 5 elders from each tribe, then I'm missing 10, because total then is only 60, because 5 times 12 is 60. And if I decide to take from certain Shvatim 5 and from certain Shvatim 6, then I'm causing jealousy between the tribes, that the tribes will think that they are not equally represented. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to pick 72 elders, meaning he's going to pick 6 elders from each tribe for a total of 72. He is going to write on 70 pieces of paper, Zokein elder, and in 2 pieces of paper is going to leave blank. And now we'll pick up the exact language of the Gemara, because that is going to be part of our shir. The Gemara continues and says, Omar lohem, boy utlu pikaschem, that go pick your lots, kol mi she'ola b'yodei zokein, anybody who had elder written on his lot, Omar, he says, kar kidashcho shomayim, that Hashem already sanctified you, that you are already fit to be an elder. But if somebody came out with a blank, meaning those two that ended up with blank pieces of paper, Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem doesn't want you. What can I do for you? Meaning that those who came out blank, Moshe Rabbeinu not only said that Hashem doesn't want you, Moshe Rabbeinu technically rubbed it in and said that Hashem doesn't want you, what can I do for you? Mefarshim asked 3 questions. The first question they ask, why was it necessary to say anything on those who came out blank? The person automatically understood that if it came out blank, that he is not worthy to be a judge, then why was it necessary to say anything? The second question they ask is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu use the language Hamakoim Loichofes Becha, that Hashem doesn't want you, but why did he use the name of Hashem, Mokoim, in this place? And third, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to continue and say, Ani Ma'aselach, what can I do for you? It's enough to say that Hamakoim Loichofes Becha, that Hashem doesn't want you. That is painful enough. Why you have to continue say, Ani ma'asalach, I can't do anything for you? What did Moshe Rabbeinu try to communicate by these words? And now we're going to start with our shir, which is on chapter 11, verse number 26. The pasuk says, Vayisharu shnei anoshim b'machane, there were leftovers, 2 people in the encampment, Shem o'echot Eldad, v'shem asheni meidad. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the second was Medad. Vatonach aleihem haruach, and the spirit rested on them. Vehemo baksuvim, And they are in the writings, that is the literal translation of the words Vehema Baksuvim, but the meaning here means they were the ones among the recorded ones. Velo Yeitzu Ohelo, and they didn't go out to the tent. Vaisnabu Bamachane, and they prophesied in the encampment. Pasuk 27 continues, Vayorot Sanar, the lad ran, Vayaged le Moshe, and told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer, and said, Eldot umeidot misnabim bamachane, that Eldot and Meidot are prophesying in the encampment, again stressing the words encampment, Vayan Yoshua bin Nun, Mishores Moshe, Mibachurov, Vayomer, Yeshua bin Nun, the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu, since his youth, spoke up and said, Adoni Moshe Keloim, Master Moshe, incarcerate him, put him in jail. Vayomer loy Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, Hamekana atoli, are you jealous for me? Umi iten kolam Hashem nevim, who would give that the whole nation of Hashem should be prophets? Ki iten Hashem ezrucho yaleim, that Hashem should put his spirits on them. The simple interpretation is that Yeshua bin Nun was taking offense that these were not part of the 70 elders, yet they were prophesizing. Moshe Rabbeinu gave from his spirit to the 70 elders. They were not part of the 70 elders because they remained in the encampment, yet they were still prophesizing. Yeshua thought, is this respectful to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu chose to give up his honor and said that I will be glad that all the Jewish people would be prophets. The word Bamachane in this psukim is redundant, meaning that in Pasuk number 26 it's written that two people remained in the Machane, in the encampment, and they were Eldot and Meidot, and the Spirit of Hashem came on them, and they amongst those who are written, and they did not go out to the tent of the meeting, Vaisnabu Bamachane, and they prophesied in the encampment. And then the lad came and told Moshe Rabbeinu that Eldot and Meidot are prophesying in the encampment, and further on Yeshua tells Moshe Rabbeinu to incarcerate him. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, I wish that all the Jewish people would get prophecy. Mefarshim ask, why is it written so many times the word Bamachane in the encampment? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph asks a question, what was the prophecy that Eldot and Meidot gave? The first opinion, the Gemara says, that their prophecy was Moshe Meis, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, Yeshua Machnis, Yeshua is going to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Turim actually says that this is alluded to the word misnabim, that Eldot and Meidot were prophesizing Bamachna in the encampment, which misnabim are the letters meis neviyam, that their prophet is going to die, which is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu dying and Yeshua bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. Or the Baal Turim brings down that the word misnabim is the acronym of Moshe Tanuach Navshoi Began Elokim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die in Gan Eden. Yeshua Machnis, Yeshua is going to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that through the word Misnabim, through the word that they were prophesizing, in that word is alluded to Moshe Rabbeinu dying, Yeshua bringing the Jewish people in. Rav Nachman gives a different interpretation. Rav Nachman says that they were prophesizing regarding the Milchemes Goig u'Magog, the end of times, when Moshiach will come, that's what the prophecy was. And Rav Nachman brings a pasuk to what he says. The Belzer Rebbe, Zechuso Yagen Oleinu, reconciles the opinion of Rav Nachman that says they were prophesizing regarding the end of times, regarding the time of Moshiach, with the Tanakama, which says that they're prophesizing that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die and Yeshua is going to bring them towards Israel, based on the Gemara in Psachim Daf Peches Amud Aleph 88a, where there the Gemara says that what is the meaning in Pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 2, verse number 3, V'olchu amim rabim, that a lot of nations will come, V'omru, they say, Lechu v'na le'el har Hashem, let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. It's written Elokei Yaakov, only the God of Yaakov, Veloy Elokei Avram V'Yitzchok, and not the God of Avram V'Yitzchok. Elo Gemara says, Loike Avram Shekosov Boihar, not like Avram that called the place of Beis HaMikdash Har, mountain, Shenemar, because it's written in the Pasuk, Asher Yom HaYom Bahar Hashem Yiroah, that on the mountain Hashem is seen, which that is by the Akedah on Bereshis chapter 22, verse number 14. Veloike Yitzchok Shekosov Boisada, not like Yitzchok that's written field, Shenemar, because by Yitzchok is written on Bereshis chapter 24, verse 63. Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basada, Yitzchok went to pray in the field. Eloke Yaakov, like Yaakov Shekoro Bais, Yaakov called it house, because it's written on Bereshis chapter 28, verse 19, Vayikra Shamakamahu Beis Kel, that he called a place a house of Hashem, therefore we praying to the God of Yaakov. The Belzer Rebbe brings Sifre Kabbalah that says, since the Beis HaMikdash in heaven is opposite the Beis HaMikdash on earth, therefore Hashem built one wall of the Beis HaMikdash, Avraham Avinu built the second wall, Yitzchak built the third wall, Yaakov built the fourth wall, and Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to build the roof. And only when everything is finished, then the Beis HaMikdash will be permanent, will come down from heaven to earth. Therefore, he says that each of the others was able to add one machaneh, one encampment, one portion to the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that Hashem built the first wall. Therefore, when Avraham Avinu came to build the second wall, he called it Har, mountain, because the numerical value of Har is 205, the Resh is 200, the He is 5. Together, if the word makes it 206, and the numerical value of Machaneh is 103, because the Mem is 40, the Ches is 8, that's 48, and the Nun is 50, that's 98, and the Hey is 5, that makes it 103. So each of our forefathers added a Machaneh. Therefore, when Avraham Avinu built the second wall, he called it Har, which is 206, because 205 plus 1 in the word is 206. Yitzchak wanted to build the third wall. Therefore, he had three machanes, which is 3 times 103, makes it 309. Therefore, the word sadeh is numerical value 309, because the sin is 300, dalet is 4, and the hay is 5, that makes it 309. Yaakov Avinu wanted to build the fourth wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, he called it Bais, which numerical value is 412, because 4 times 103 is 412, and the numerical value of Bais is 412. Base is 2, Yud is 10, that's 12, Tav is 400, that's 412. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to build his, he wanted to build his roof, and he couldn't do it. Therefore, he did Voes Chanon, he prayed 515 prayers in the numerical value of Voes Chanon to come into Eretz Yisrael, because he knew that if he comes into Eretz Yisrael, then he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and if he builds the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. As the Gemara in Soita, Daf Tes Omed Aleph explains that Moshe v'David l'sholtu su'nei b'maseyem, that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech built, no enemies were able to destroy. Therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have prayed 515 prayers, and why specifically 515? Because 515 is 5 times the numerical value of 103. 5 times Machaneh is 515. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to finish the Machaneh. He wanted to put the roof on the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem didn't allow him to do, because it was not time yet. And that could only happen if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Belzer Rebbe says that that is the meaning where Misnabim, that they were prophesying by Machaneh regarding the Machaneh, regarding the last 103, and they were prophesying that Moshe Rabbeinu will die and he won't be able to finish the Machaneh, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the last Machane missing in order to complete the building. And that building, which is the Beis HaMikdash, will only be completed after we have the Olam HaTikun, after we have a perfect world in the time of Moshiach. And the Baal Zeh Rebbe continues that this could be the explanation of Rav Nachman that says that they were arguing regarding Goyk Umagoyk, because Goyk Umagoyk comes from the language of Gag, of roof. They were prophesizing regarding the time of Moshe Rabbeinu putting the roof on the Beis HaMikdash, which won't be now, which will only be after the war of Goyg Umagoyg, which is going to be in the time of Moshiach. And for that to happen, Moshe Rabbeinu has to die, because if he doesn't die and come into Eretz Yisrael, then we'll have the Beis HaMikdash right away, and Hashem didn't want to do that. Then the opinion that says that Moshe Rabbeinu will die, and the opinion that they were prophesizing regarding the time of Goyg Umagoyg, ends up being the same. And that is alluded by the word Machaneh, that they were fighting regarding the extra Machaneh that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to complete. Sefer Shemen Roish has a very strong question regarding Yeshua's reaction to the prophecy of Eldad and Medad, meaning that Yeshua knew that Eldad and Medad are not prophesizing this on their own. Obviously, they are prophesizing what Hashem had told them to say. Then why is Yeshua so upset? What were they saying? If Hashem told them to say, then they have no choice. They have to say what they were supposed to say. Sefer Shemen Roish answers based on the Bnei Yisachar in Tammuz Chelik Beis Tezayin, where the Bnei Yisachar is trying to explain the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which is in Yeshaya chapter 1, verse number 1, where it starts, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz. This is the vision of Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, Asher Chazo al Yehuda of Yerushalayim, that he envisioned regarding Yehuda and Yerushalayim. And the Bnei Yisachar asks that the word Chazon automatically tells you that this is a vision. Then it's not necessary to write afterwards Asher Chazo al Yehuda of Yerushalayim, that he envisioned over Yehuda in Yerushalayim. You should have just said Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz. This is the vision of Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, al Yehuda of Yerushalayim, regarding Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Why do you have to say again that he envisioned Asher Chazo al Yehuda Yerushalayim? It is redundant, because once you say that this is the vision of Yeshayahu regarding Yerushalayim, you don't have to say Asher Chazo that he saw regarding Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Bnei Yisachar says that based on the Alshech, that the Alshech explains what is the difference between Nevuah and Chizayon, why sometimes you see a prophet has a Nevuah prophecy and sometimes he has a Chizayon, he has a vision, and he explains that a prophecy is a higher level and vision is a lower level, meaning that once a prophet sees a prophecy, that prophecy must come true, because that prophecy involves the word of Hashem, and that must come true. But when a prophet sees a vision, that vision doesn't have to necessarily come true. A vision could still change depending on circumstances. And regarding the vision of Yeshayahu, since Yeshayahu was talking about bad things happening to Yerushalayim, therefore he wants to emphasize Asher Chazo al Yerushalayim, that he only envisioned this regarding Yerushalayim. But if the Jewish people do tshuva and repent, they could change that vision, that it should not happen. And the Bnei Yisachar explains that when the prophet gives the word of Hashem, that when the prophet says something in the name of Hashem, that something cannot be changed, as the Pasuk in Yeshayahu 55:11 says, Kein yedvara yashayetze mipi lo yoshiv elai reikam, so will be my words that came out of my mouth will not come back to me for not, meaning that once the prophet prophesies that this is the word of Hashem, then that prophecy cannot be changed either. Therefore, says the Bnei Yisachar in this week's Parsha, in chapter 10, verse 29, where we find Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convince Yisroel to continue join the Jewish people coming into the land, Moshe Rabbeinu uses the argument, Ki Hashem diber toiv al Yisrael, that Hashem spoke good to the Jewish people. He says that the argument is that don't worry that even if the Jewish people mess up and they commit sins, nonetheless, since Hashem spoke, then Hashem has to make the good, because Hashem's word does not come back for naught. Hashem has to do what He says. If the prophecy was that Hashem spoke, then Hashem has to do what He promised. According to this idea, Sefer Shemeroj explains that this is what is happening here regarding Yoshua, meaning that Yoshua heard that Eldad Imedad are prophesying in the encampment, but it is not written clearly what the prophecy was. As we mentioned, there is a machlokes what they were prophesying. Either they were prophesying misnabim, that meis neviyam, that the words were meis neviyam, they were put together, that the prophet died, or that the prophecy was in a way of acronym from the word misnabim, as we mentioned previously, from the balaturim, or as we mentioned, that the prophecy was regarding the machane, regarding the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, which Moshe Rabbeinu was required to complete, which is the numerical value of machane. But clearly, the prophecy wasn't said, because if it would have been said, then the Torah would have written down what the prophecy was. So the prophecy was alluded in the same way as a vision. Therefore, Yeshua comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, Keloim, incarcerate him. He explains that Keloim is the same words Ke'ilam, make them mute, meaning incarcerate their mouth, make them stop saying, because if they stop saying, then they can't pronounce the words Moshe Mes, Yeshua Machnis. If they don't pronounce the words, then the words cannot come true, because they only have it right now as a vision. They don't have it as a clear prophecy. Yeshua is trying to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to cause them to become mute, and if they become mute, then they won't be able to pronounce the words, and the prophecy could be changed. It doesn't have to come true, because then it's in the same way as a vision, which is not binding, not required to come true. But Moshe Rabbeinu was unselfish. Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to make him mute. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I wish the whole nation of Hashem should be all prophets. But Yeshua wanted them to become mute in order for them to stop their prophecy, like that the prophecy could be changed, because Yeshua knew that his vision came from Hashem, but he felt that as long as it wasn't said, it could still be changed. Therefore, Yeshua wanted to stop him. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, we could understand an interesting Nachal Kedumim. The Nachal Kedumim brings down in the name of Marie Saruk Zal, which he says that what is written in the Gemara in Chagiga Dav Gimel Amud Aleph 3a, that Hana Trei Ilma Da'ava B'Sheshvus Ad Rebbe, there were these two mutes in the Rebbe's neighborhoods, Bnei Bratad Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgada, they were either the sons of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgada's daughter, Vamala, some say Bnei Achsed Rabbi Yochanan, or they were the sons of Rabbi Yochanan's sister. The Chol Emes Da'ave Ayah Rebbe Levei Medrasha, every time Rabbeinu HaKadosh used to come to the Beis HaMedrash, Have Ayah Levei Yos VeKamei, they used to come up and sit in front of him. Umenai De'Bereshai, they used to shake their heads. Umerachshin Sifuvasai, and they used to move their lips, but since they were mutes, you couldn't hear what they were saying. Uboi Rebbe Rachma Alei, Rebbe prayed for them. Ve'itzu, and they became healed once they were able to speak. Then it was found that they are well versed in halachic rulings, Sifra, Sifri, the Midrashim, and the entire Shas. Sefer Nachal Kedumim says that these two mute people that were healed by Rabbi, they were reincarnations, Gilgulim, of Eldad and Medad, and they became mute until Rabbi came and healed them. The question that Sefer Shemeroish is trying to understand is, why did they become mute? Why would Hashem make it that this prophet that says that he prophesied and didn't stop, that they should become mute in another Gilgul, in another incarnation? Sefer Shemeroish answers based on what we just mentioned regarding Yehoshua, since Yehoshua felt that it was a slight to Moshe Rabbeinu and he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to incarcerate him, and we mentioned that incarcerate him means make them mute, and true that Moshe Rabbeinu did not agree to it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I wish that all the Jewish people will be prophets, but nonetheless we know that when a tzaddik says something, then it comes true. Therefore, since Yeshua wanted them to become mute, because Yeshua felt that it is an insult to Moshe Rabbeinu, in another reincarnation, Yeshua's wish came true, and they became mute until Rabbeinu HaKadosh prayed for them, and they became healed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, gives two different versions of what happened that caused Eldad and Medad to receive this great honor. The first one is the opinion of the Yesh Omrim. There are those who say that Bekalfai Nishtairu, that they remained in the Lads, and Rashi there explained that Eldad and Medad were supposed to take the last two Lads, which were written elders in them, but they decided not to take. And Meforshim there explained that the reason that they decided not to take is because they saw the face of two elders that took blank spots, and they didn't want to embarrass them. Therefore, they decided not to take the last two lots. Like that, nobody will know who was rejected from the elders. And because their abstention saved the two elders' embarrassment, therefore Hashem gave them the reward that they prophesied forever. As a matter of fact, according to this interpretation, when it's written Vehemo Baksuvim, and they were in the writings, means that they were included in the writings where it's written elders, and they didn't take because they wanted to spare somebody else embarrassment. That is how Rashi explains this Gemara in the Gemara, but we will see soon that the Mizrahi has a different interpretation. But before we bring the Mizrahi's interpretation, we will bring the interpretation of Rab Shimon in the Gemara, where Rab Shimon says that originally there were 72 elders listed to take the lots, but Eldad and Medad felt that they are not worthy. They were humble. They believed that they are not worthy to be an elder. Therefore, they abstained, they hid, and they didn't even go down to the Oel Moed, to the tent of meeting. They were in the encampment. They remained in the encampment. That's why this word is stressed, to tell you that they never bothered to go down, because they felt clearly that they are not too worthy to be an elder among the Jewish people. And because they felt so humble, Hashem gave them the greatness that they were raised above everybody else because of their humility. As we always know that Hashem always rests among the humble people, therefore, because they were humbled, therefore Hashem raised them, that their prophecy lasted forever, and their prophecy came directly from Hashem and not from Moshe Rabbeinu. And according to this interpretation, when it's written Behemo Baksuvim, they were part of the writings. That means they originally they were written up to go down there to take a lot, but they didn't bother to take a lot. Therefore, Hashem gave them the honor. As we mentioned previously, the Mizrahi interprets the Gemara differently. The Mizrahi interprets the Yesh Omrim, Bikalfa and Ishtairu, that the two elders, Eldad and Medad, were remaining in the Lads, not that they were the ones that supposed to be elders, meaning that the two Lads that were remaining for them were written in them elders. The lots that were remaining to them, says the Mizrahi, were blank. They were not supposed to be elders. And the Mizrahi explains that when it's written Vehemo Baksuvim, and they were the ones in the writings, it doesn't mean that it was written elder. It means that they were one of the 72 that were supposed to get, and they didn't bother to get because they were the last two that was blank. The question, according to the Mizrahi, is why did they receive such reward? if they were supposed to be blank and they didn't bother to take those lots, what was the merit that caused them to get prophecy for the whole time? The simple answer you could give, that they didn't know that they were blank. They decided not to take, just in case that they were not blank and they were written elders. And even though later on everybody found out that those two were blanks, because all the other 70 elders already took their lots and all of them came out Zokain, nonetheless, because they didn't want to take, Hashem gave them the reward for the intention of not embarrassing other people, as we mentioned, or for their humility of not wanting to take. But according to the simple interpretation that all the 70 took, and they are the ones that picked afterwards, and their names were blank, and they decided not to take, then we have a very strong question of why Hashem decided to rest His Shekhinah over them. And besides that, the question is even stronger, that now that they were rejected by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hamokom lechofetz becha," Hashem doesn't want you, "Ani ma'aselach," what can I do to you? Why and how would Hashem again put the Shekhinah over them and let them prophesy? That is clearly a slap to Moshe Rabbeinu. Once Moshe Rabbeinu tells them clearly the rejection, as we mentioned before, why would Hashem do that and decide that they should become prophets? Sefer Shemen Roish answers based on the Sefer Chuta Meshulash from Rab Shloime Soifer, which he explains that his grandfather, the Chassam Soifer, never wanted to get Rabbonis. He never wanted to be the rabbi. He never wanted to take a public position. And the same thing happened to Rab Kiveger Zatzal, that he never wanted to take position of rabbis. Why? Besides from the obvious that if you are a rabbi, then you are required to make decisions for others and you are responsible for decisions that you make. And besides the fact that when you are in a position of authority, you have the tendency to become haughty, and that is one of the character traits admonished by Hashem, but also when you are in a position of authority and you are a rabbi over a city, then you are required to give up from your time of learning to the city, to the affairs that goes on in the city. It could be from the mundane to the exalted, and you don't have time to become so connected to Hashem through your service, because you giving of that time to the people. Therefore, this Rabbonim did not want to take the yoke of Rabbonis, the yoke of the people, on them. They wanted to become closer connected to Hashem. But Hashem sees everything, and Hashem realizes the sacrifice you are making in order to serve the public, and Hashem rewards you because of what you're doing, that you are not going to lose your closeness to Hashem, and you are going to be able to get to the same level as you were before, or even to a higher level. As the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis says, that Hasidim Arishonim, that previous Hasidim, Ayushoim Shoachas, they used to take an hour before davening to get ready to daven, Umispalim Shoachas, and used to pray for 1 hour, V'choizrim V'shoim Shoachas, and they used to wait an hour after davening. That comes out that during the day there is 3 prayers. That means that they took 9 hours to do the prayers. The Gemara there asks, "V'chemiachar sheshoim teisha shoyz," if they are waiting for 9 hours, "Torosam ech mishtameres," how can the Torah be kept to malachtom emos nasa when they go to work? And the Gemara answers, "El mitoch shechasidim hem," because they are pious people and they are so devoted to Hashem, "Torosam mishtameres." The Einom Shorchim, the Torah is being kept and they don't forget. Umalachas Mizbarachas, and Hashem gives blessing in their work. According to the Yerushalmi, it means that Hashem gives a blessing in their Torah, in their work, that even though normally a person is required to learn a lot and to struggle to understand, they get a bracha that just looking automatically they are able to understand, able to remember, that Hashem sees that they are devoted, they are pious people, and they really want to do it because of the sake of Hashem, then Hashem gives them a blessing that their Torah is being blessed and their work, they don't have to work a lot, gets a blessing, and the little that they do automatically works for a lot. The same thing Hashem will do for those people who take the positions of rabbis, that even though they don't have the time to devote as much as they wanted, still Hashem will give them the reward and give them whatever they wanted to do. The same way they explain in the Gemara in Horias, Daf Yud Beis Amud Alef, that based on Tehillim, Kaf Lamed Gimel 133, there it says, Keshemen HaToiv Al Roish Yoret Al Zekan Aharon, like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aharon. The Gemara says there, Kemin Shtei Tipe Meraglus Oit Luyos La Aharon Bezkenoi, that Aharon had two drops of oil hanging at the end of his beard. Omar Rav Papa said, Keshum Esaper, when he used to speak to people, Oilois Vayoishvaz Loi Beikar Zekanoi, used to go up and sit in the root of his beard. Meforshim explain, what does it mean when you used to speak to people that the drops of oil used to go up into the beard? So Meforshim explained that Aharon HaKohen was afraid that since he is involved in making peace between man and man and between man and Hashem, then he won't have time to learn Torah, because we see how long it takes to make peace between a couple, so much so if you have to make peace amongst the whole Jewish nation, how long it will take, how much time we'll have to devote, then he won't have time to learn Torah. Hashem made a miracle that the oil that Aharon was anointed formed two droplets on his beard. And the idea of the oil being on his beard is because the Gemara in Horias, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, says that anybody who wants to remember his Torah learning of 70 years should take Shemen Zayin, should take the oil. And the symbolism was that when Aharon HaKohen was speaking to people, meaning when he wasn't involved in Torah learning, he was involved in making peace between man and man, in order that he doesn't feel like he is missing out in learning, Hashem made a miracle that the oil that was in the tip of his beard went up to Iker Zekenoi, went up to the root of his beard. Because the Gemara says, Ein Zokin Elo Mishe Kana Chachma, that a Zokin is called somebody who got wisdom. Therefore, that oil went up to his beard to show that even though he's involved in seemingly mundane things of making peace between man and man, nonetheless, since he's doing the work of Hashem, Hashem is rewarding him, that the Torah is working in the essence of his wisdom, that Hashem is allowing the Torah to work while he is doing other things. And that is the explanation that the Torah's Moshe gives in Parshas Vayero, when Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu regarding the destruction of Sodom. There on chapter 18, verse number 17, it says, Hashem Omar, and Hashem says, Amachasani Avram, am I going to conceal from Avram, Asher and Yosef, what am I going to do? And then on Pasuk number 19 says, Ki Yedativ Lemana Shetzav Ezbonov Ezbeis Vayachrov, because I know that he is going to command his children and his house after him, Veshomru Derech Hashem, and they will keep the ways of Hashem, Laso is Sadako Mishpot, to do charity and justice. The Torah Moshe notes that a lot of our prophets were able to see what is going to happen to different nations. For example, Yeshaya, Yechezkel, and Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu chapter 1, verse number 5 says, Novi legoim nesaticha, I made you a prophet to the nations. Then why didn't Avraham Avinu have the prophecy to know what is going to happen to Sodom? The Torah Moshe answers that Avraham Avinu did not reach that level of prophecy. And he explains, don't think that Avraham Avinu was not worthy to reach that level, that since Avraham Avinu was busy teaching his family, teaching humankind about Hashem, therefore Avraham Avinu did not have the time to become closely connected and be alone and being devoted totally to heavenly things. Therefore, Avraham Avinu did not reach that level of prophecy of Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, and did not know on his own what is going to happen to Sodom. Therefore, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Hamechasani Avram, Asher and Yosef, am I going to conceal from Avram what I'm going to do? Meaning, since Avram Avinu devoted his time for my sake, then how can I make him suffer? How can I withhold from him the prophecy that you have gotten had it been involved with me the whole time? Therefore, Hashem decides to give Avraham Avinu that prophecy, even though he wasn't at that level, but not because he couldn't achieve that level. He wasn't at that level because he was devoted to Hashem in other ways. Therefore, Hashem gave him that level of prophecy as a gift. Because Avraham Avinu was involved with the people to do charity and justice, therefore Hashem decides to give him that level of prophecy and not conceal anything from Avraham, even though by normal measures Avraham Avinu did not merit that level. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, this is exactly what is happening here regarding the elders, meaning that these 70 elders were always connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. They are always in isolation, trying to work on themselves, try to get closer to Hashem. Therefore, when came the time to do the drawing, Moshe Rabbeinu put out the 72 names, and 70 of them came out Zokein Elder. That wasn't really a good thing for them, because that meant now that they will be involved in the community. They won't be able to serve Hashem the same way that they were used to. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sorry, Kvar Ketshicha Shomayim, the heavens already sanctified you, therefore you have no choice, you have to become an elder. And since up to this juncture you were involved in working on yourself, trying to get to a higher level, trying to connect to Hashem, therefore Hashem told me that I should give from my spirit, from Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit, unto you that you should have certain prophecy for a short time. But the two elders, Eldad and Medad, they were always in the Machane. They were always involved with the people. They never went outside, not because they didn't have the level to go outside. They were inside because they wanted to deal with the people. They wanted to help the people. Therefore, they were by Machane. They were in the encampment, where all the other elders were outside the encampment working on themselves, working on their service and connection to Hashem. And therefore, these two, Eldad and Medad, did not merit to have the Shekhinah come upon them, because they haven't worked on themselves in order to get the Shekhinah, since they devoted their times to somebody else. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's consoling them, he's telling them, Hamokoim, Eino Chafetz Becha, the Mokoim, which means Hashem, but Mokoim means also place, meaning Hashem doesn't want you because the place that you decided to stay, since you haven't worked on yourself, therefore Hashem doesn't want you to be an elder. Vani Ma'asalach, what can I do to you? Meaning, I can't give from my prophecy to you, since Hashem decided that you didn't work on yourself, therefore I can't give from my prophecy to you. But since Hashem gives the reward to every person for his efforts, and Hashem realized that they did it L'Shem Shomayim, the only reason they didn't work for themselves is because they wanted to work for the community, they wanted to influence the people, therefore Hashem decided to reward them and give them from his spirit, directly from Hashem, to Eldad and Medad, to show to everybody, when you work with the people, when you're involved in the Machane, in the encampment, then you'll get the reward directly from Hashem, and you won't miss out the fact that you didn't work on yourself. That if you devote your time to the people and you work for the people, but for the sake of heaven, then Hashem rewards you and he gives you the reward that you were supposed to get had you worked on yourself, and even more, as we see by Eldad and Medad, that they received the prophecy directly from Hashem, and their prophecy endured forever, where the other elders only received temporary prophecy from the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the prophecy did not endure. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should soon merit that Moshe Rabbeinu should finish the Beis HaMikdash by building the roof, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. B'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.